achievement. Amma ba'd. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. And every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Inshallah ta'ala, for today's class, again we're going to skip the thesis of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, rahimahullah. And that we're not skipping this thesis because we have a dislike for it, but we love this thesis, alhamdulillah, and we love to explain it. It's just that for the past couple of lessons, I felt that we weren't giving enough attention to the section on character. And that is very important as we have begun our lessons. It's very important for a Muslim to be concerned with his character. That we're constantly and always trying to perfect our character. Inshallah ta'ala, today we wanted to take a look at some of the things that if we did them, we would enter into Jannah. Some of the things that if we did them, we would enter into Jannah. From the character of a Muslim to the etiquettes of Islam, that if we were to hold fast to these things, then inshallah ta'ala, we will enter Jannah, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in authentic hadith. As he has told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith collected by At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة فقال تقوى الله وحسن الخلق وسئل عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس النار فقال الفم والفرج. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as this hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira, was questioned, what thing would enter the people into Jannah most? What thing would enter people into Jannah most? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered by saying, Taqwullah wa husnul khuluq. That the fear of Allah and good character would enter people into Jannah more than any other thing. Fear of Allah and good character would enter people into Jannah more than any other thing. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the importance of having good character as a Muslim. And that there is nothing that could enter you into Jannah more than having good character. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said before that, Taqwa Allah, or as they usually translate it, God consciousness. This taqwa Allah, or fear of Allah, is enjoining that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and staying away from that which He has prohibited. So taqwa Allah, fear of Allah, is a general statement. It's a general statement, and it encompasses doing everything that Allah has ordered us to do and staying away from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden to us. This is taqwa Allah, this is fear of Allah. And husnul khuluq, or good character, is also a general thing. Good character is a general thing and it encompasses many things. As we have begun to mention some of them in the past lessons. Respecting our elders, being kind to the young, giving our learned their rights, being patient, smiling, being considerate to our brothers, being gentle and compassionate to the Muslims, being kind to our parents, and on and on and on from among the things that are a part of good character. And today's lesson, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take a look at some of the things of good character that enters into Jannah, that will enter us into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this first hadith is telling us that good character in general enters us into Jannah. And then inshallah ta'ala in the following hadith, we will take some of the specific things from good character that will enter a person into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also asked what thing would enter people into the hellfire most. And he said, the mouth and the private parts. The mouth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, is referring to the tongue. This organ that we have in our mouth will enter people into the hellfire more than any other thing. And I think we have mentioned this before, something that the disbelieving people say. They say, I have taken Jesus as my personal savior. You see how the tongue can lead you into the hellfire by just making a statement on your tongue. And we see as the believers, they say, La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبي دخل الجنة. That whoever says لا إله إلا الله sincerely in his heart enters Jannah. This tongue, people will be thrown into the hellfire for just this tongue. People can talk about people. You see that brother over there, such and such and such and such, backbiting the brother. This tongue can lead us to the hellfire, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in this hadith. And to guard this tongue and to use this tongue properly is a part of the good character that will enter the Muslims into Jannah. And the other thing was the private parts. And there's no need to go into any detail, as we are in the land of fornication and adultery. We are in the land of fornication and adultery. May Allah save all of us from falling into that after He has guided us to Iman. The Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says in this next hadith, which was collected by Abu Dawood and is also authentic, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَقَ الْمِرَاءِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحَقًّا أَوْ مُحِقًّا وَبِبَيْتًا فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذَبِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا وَبِبَيْتًا فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am the one who will guarantee you a house on the outskirts of Jannah, on the suburbs of Jannah, for the one who leaves off arguing, even if he is the one with the truth. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us, I am the one who will guarantee you a place on the outskirts of Jannah, on the outskirts of Jannah. And we'll see why the Prophet ﷺ is saying on the outskirts of Jannah. For the person who leaves off arguing, even if he has the truth. A part of the good character of a Muslim is to leave off this arguing. To leave off this arguing. Muslims aren't the people who argue. We're the people who leave off arguing. And to leave off arguing is from the good character of the Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will guarantee the one who leaves off the arguing, even if he has the truth, even if he has the truth, he will get this place on the outskirts of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, and I am the one to guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah. In the middle of Jannah, for the one who leaves off lying, even if he's only joking. Lying is a terrible characteristic of a human being, to have that, to be described as a liar. And as Muslims, we're encouraged to leave off lying and to be truthful, and that this is the good character of a Muslim. However, unfortunately, here in America, the land of comedy, everything's a joke. It don't make a difference if you're lying, and most of the time it's nothing but lies, just to make people laugh. Relax. Enjoy yourself. Take it easy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who does not speak on his own desires, who only speaks from revelation revealed to him, the one who has the finest guidance, tells us, I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for the one who leaves off lying, even if he's only playing. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we joke, but we should make sure when we joke and we make people laugh, that we don't lie to make them laugh. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned by one of his companions, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, you laugh and you joke with us and you play. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, I make you laugh or I play with you, but nothing comes out of this mouth except the truth. Nothing comes out of this mouth except the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the finest example for mankind, he used to joke with his companions. He used to make them laugh, but nothing came out of his mouth sallallahu alaihi wasallam except the truth. We should let that be advice to us, that yes, it's okay sometimes to let go, relax, have a good time, make people laugh, but don't let anything come out of your mouth except the truth. And whoever does that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guarantees them a house in the middle of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, I guarantee a house at the highest station in Jannah. First on the outskirts, and Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala, is a big place. Some people will be on the outskirts, some people in the middle, some people on the top. The highest level in Jannah, and Jannah is levels. According to how good you act in this world, how much you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from that which He has prohibited, will determine how high you will get your station in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I guarantee a house at the highest place in Jannah for the one who perfects his character, for the one who has good character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us the finest guidance in this authentic hadith, and he's trying to show us how to get to Jannah. And we know that we are only created to worship Allah, to strive for that Jannah in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ, that there is a group of people in Jannah and a group of people in the hellfire. As Muslims, we want to be among that group who are in Jannah. And this is why we have come to the masjid, to learn our deen, to learn that path that will lead us to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu wasallamu alayhi is telling us in this hadith, teaching us from his finest guidance, three ways to get to Jannah. To leave off arguing, even if we have the truth. To leave off lying, even if we're playing. And for the one who perfects his character. These are three paths. All of them lead to Jannah. All of them lead to Jannah. If you ask any brother, what are you trying to get out of this life? I'm trying to get to Jannah. It's all about getting to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the path to Jannah, as he has showed us in this hadith, and just as he is showing us in this next hadith, which has been collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi and also by Imam Abu Dawood in the Sunan, and Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and mercy, may the peace and blessing, may the peace and praise of Allah be upon him, said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي وَرَدِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَدِّلْ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُ بِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will be said to the person, to the adherents of the Qur'an, to the people of the Qur'an. And the people of the Qur'an are the people who work by that which is in the Qur'an, the people who believe that which is in the Qur'an, the people who recite the Qur'an properly. The people who recite the Qur'an, the people who believe in the Qur'an, and the people who work by that which is in the Qur'an, it will be said to them, read the Qur'an, and have your level raised. Read the Quran and raise up. That raising up is in Jannah. This is on the Day of Judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to the believers and He will tell them to read the Quran. Read the Quran and then they will be raised up. Recite it properly and beautifully the way that you used to do it in this world. And this is also guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and an encouragement that we should all learn how to read this Quran properly and to beautify our voices with the Quran, as the Prophet sallallahu wasallam alaihi says, "Laysa minna man lam yataghanna bil Quran," that they are not from among me the people who do not beautify their voices with the Quran. Read the Qur'an and be raised up. Read it the way you used to beautify it in the dunya. For certainly your level in Jannah is according to the last ayat that you read. Meaning, when you're asked to read the Qur'an on the Day of Judgment, and you read an ayat and an ayat and an ayat, every ayat that you read, you'll be raised up in Jannah. Until the last ayat you read, that will be your station in Jannah. Let this be an encouragement to us to try to memorize, to try to believe in, to try to read and understand and practice as much Quran as we could, so that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us to be asked on the Day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Resurrection, read, and you will be raised up according to how much we read of that Quran, that we'll have a lot of Quran in our chest that we'll be able to read and to be raised up in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next hadith, and this is an encouragement for all of us as we have accepted Islam, many of us, when we were older, and our mother tongue is English, and learning Arabic is difficult, and maybe learning to recite the Quran is difficult on us. Islam is an easy religion, and everyone will be rewarded accordingly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, الذي يقرأ القرآن وهو ماهر به, and in another narration, وهو حافظ به مع السفرة الكرام البررة, والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this hadith that the person who reads the Quran and he has mastered its recitation, or in the next narration, or has memorized the Quran, reading it with the angels in a beautiful fashion, and the one who reads the Quran and he's stuttering over it, chopping it up because it's difficult for him, both of them get rewarded twice. So don't feel bad if you find difficulty in learning how to read the Quran. Allah knows what's in our hearts. And if we're sincere and we just chop the Quran up trying to read it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us twice for trying to read that Quran, even though we have difficulty. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next hadith relating to the issue of reading the Quran and showing that this reading of the Quran and the following of the Quran leads to Jannah, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Qur'anu mushaffa'un wa mahilun musaddaqun من جعله أمامه قاده إلى الجنة ومن جعله خلف ظهره ساقه إلى النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this Quran, in this authentic hadith collected by Ibn Hibban, that the Quran is an intercession, an intercessor. And there's a word in here called mahil, and I forgot the meaning of that word. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Quran is the intercessor and a mahil, and it proves truthful everything that agrees with it, or it's a confirmer of everything. Whoever makes the Quran and puts the Quran in front of him, then it will guide him to Jannah. And whoever puts the Quran behind his back, then it will guide him to the hellfire. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that Quran, believing in it, following what's in it, and reciting it properly, will lead us to Jannah. Not following that which is in the Quran, putting it behind our back, not believing in it, not reading it, that will lead us to the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to put that Quran in front of us to lead us to Jannah, and make it difficult for us to put it behind our back to lead us to the hellfire. Ameen. Next thing that we wanted to mention among the things that will lead us to Jannah is a simple statement that we can say on our tongue. A simple statement that we can say on our tongue, it will enter us into Jannah, just as we have mentioned in the past, that simple statement, La ilaha illallah. There's another statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that if we said it, it will enter us into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من دخل السوق فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير كتب الله له ألف ألف حسنة ومحى عنه ألف ألف سيئة وَبَنَى لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And this has been collected by At-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim, and it's Mustadrak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, and I don't think I've ever read a hadith that shows us something so easy to say with a reward so great that it's just unbelievable, that I don't know how we could hear it and don't try to jump on it as fast as we could. Listen to the translation of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever enters the marketplace, whoever enters the marketplace, and everyone among us enters the marketplace, whoever enters the marketplace and says, La ilaha illallah, he is alone and has no partners, for him him is the kingdom or the dominion. For him is the praise. He gives life and he gives death and he causes death. He is the living and he doesn't die. In his hand is all the good. And he has the power over everything. Whoever says that when he enters the marketplace, then Allah will write for him 1,000,000 good deeds, 1,000,000 blessings for him, and will wipe away 1,000,000 bad deeds, and will wipe away 1,000,000 bad deeds, and will build for him a house in Jannah. And in another narration that we had mentioned before, and will raise him 1,000,000 levels in Jannah. 1,000,000 levels in Jannah. This is from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we have been encouraging everyone to buy that book called The Authentic Supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever looks in it, he can find the chapter what to say when you enter the marketplace. And when you read it, you can know that the reward for making that simple statement for entering the marketplace, whether it's to buy clothing, whether it's to buy food, whether it's to buy cars, whether computers, whatever you like to buy, at whatever marketplace you go, all you have to say is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, yuhyi wa yumeet, وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. You get 1,000,000 blessings, 1,000,000 good deeds written down for you on your side by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1,000,000 bad deeds wiped away, and a house built for you in Jannah. Or as in the other narration, you'll be raised 1,000,000 levels in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to memorize this and to put it into practice, and to give us 1,000,000 good deeds, and to wipe away from us 1,000,000 bad deeds, and to raise us 1,000,000 levels in Jannah. Ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next hadith is also showing us something that is very light on our tongue, something extremely easy to say, and if we say it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us with Jannah, as told to us by As-Sadiq al-Masduq, the truthful one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah and other than them and their collections of hadith, and this is an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من سأل الله الجنة ثلاث مرات قالت الجنة اللهم أدخله الجنة ومن استجار من النار ثلاث مرات قالت النار اللهم أجره من النار. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith tells us, whoever asks Allah for the Jannah 3 times, Jannah will say, and Jannah is heaven, if we haven't translated it, Jannah is heaven or paradise. Whoever asks Allah for Jannah 3 times, Jannah will say, O Allah, enter him into Jannah. Whoever asks Allah for Jannah 3 times, Jannah will say, O Allah, enter him into Jannah. And I think there's another narration that says, Allah will accept this dua and enter him into Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for the Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for the Jannah. O Allah, we ask you for the Jannah. Here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Jannah, that beautiful place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for the believers, that place that he has described in many verses in his Quran, Here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Jannah will talk. Remember that our intellect plays a part, but it has a point where it stops. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks the truth. As he told us in the authentic hadith, nothing comes out of my mouth except the truth. As Allah tells us in the Quran, in the beginning of Surah An-Najm, مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that he does not speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. When the Prophet, when the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells us that Jannah will say, we shouldn't say, how can Jannah say, but we should say, we hear and we believe. We hear and we believe, and we're always emphasizing that point so that we don't become among the disbelieving or among the deviant people, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Jews as being those who say, we hear and we disobey. We hear and we disbelieve. Rather, when we hear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever asks Allah for Jannah three times, Jannah will say, enter him into Jannah. O Allah, enter him into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, and whoever asks Allah to save him from the hellfire three times, then the hellfire will say, O Allah, save him from the hellfire, and he will be saved from the hellfire. O Allah, we ask you to save us from the hellfire. O Allah, we ask you to save us from the hellfire. O Allah, we ask you to save us from the hellfire. These are easy statements to say all the time. They aren't difficult for anyone to say. We should be mindful each and every day to make these dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the path to Jannah. This is the way to be among the group who will enter Jannah, and not to be among the group who will enter the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the finest guidance has guided us to another path that leads to Jannah, and that is the path that we have come to tread today, and that is the path of seeking knowledge. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, in his authentic collection of hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من سلق طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة, that whoever treads a path, whoever goes down a road seeking knowledge in that road, then Allah will make the path to Jannah easy for him. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clearly laying out that path for us to Jannah, and it's the path of seeking knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's referring to seeking knowledge, we have mentioned in the past that the knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to is the knowledge of the deen, the knowledge of the religion of Islam, the knowledge of that which is in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Muhammad, Nabiyuna sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Just as the Prophet says in this authentic hadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wants good for, He gives them the knowledge of this deen. And as we have mentioned in the other hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمًا بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٌ بِالْآخِرَةِ, that Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Exalted, hates everyone who is unknowledgeable of the affairs of this life, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making it clear that the knowledge that Allah and His Messenger refers to, the knowledge that we should be seeking, the knowledge that if we travel the path to gain, we will be traveling the path, will be easy for us to go to Jannah. That is the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the last Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, because He has blessed us and He has made it easy for us to come out today to seek the knowledge of this Islam, and inshallah He will make it easy for us to travel that path to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us another path that could lead us to Jannah. And this is a path that we have the opportunity to train 5 times a day, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا قَالَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَقَالَ أَحَدُكُمْ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ ثم قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ثم قال أشهد أن محمد رسول الله قال أشهد أن محمد رسول الله ثم قال حي على الصلاة قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ثم قال حي على الفلاح قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ثم قال الله أكبر الله أكبر قال الله أكبر الله أكبر ثم قال لا إله إلا الله قال لا إله إلا الله من قلبه دخل الجنة. And this hadith has been collected by Imam Muslim in his authentic collection. And as you could hear in Arabic, it was the adhan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to when he said, as we translate, when the muezzin, or the one who calls the adhan, says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and one of you says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, repeating the words of the muezzin, and then when he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and he says Ashhadu, and we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then he says Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then the person says Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then the person says Hayya ala salah, and then the muezzin says Hayya ala salah, and then the person says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And that phrase, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, means that there is no power and no might except by Allah. Then the muezzin says, حي على الفلاح. And then the person says, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Then the muezzin says, الله أكبر, الله أكبر. And the person repeats, الله أكبر, الله أكبر. And then the muezzin says, La ilaha illallah, and the person repeats La ilaha illallah. The Prophet says, when the muezzin says this and one of you says that, repeating after him sincerely in his heart, then he enters into Jannah. Each and every day, 5 times a day, we hear the muezzin making this call to salah. We should be mindful to repeat after him, not to just be parroting this on our tongues, but to be saying it sincerely, meaning it in our hearts. We will enter Jannah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. All of us should know what the adhan means, and this a simple phrase, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, La ilaha, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship worthy of worship other than Allah. And we use this translation, as you have been hearing, instead of using the translation, there is no God but Allah, because the phrase actually means there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. There is no God in truth that should be worshipped other than Allah. This is the proper and correct meaning of La ilaha illallah, inshallah. And then the Muaddin says, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And then he says, Hayya ala salah, or come on to salah. Hayya ala al falah, come on to success. And then we repeat the phrase after that, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As we have said, it means there is no power and no might except by Allah. And then the last phrase is just a repeat of what was said in the beginning. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us one of the paths, that if we tread that path will lead us to Jannah. It is when we hear the Mu'adhin calling the Adhan, then that we should repeat sincerely in our heart that which the Mu'adhin says, we will enter Jannah, as the Prophet tells us in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim. It's easy for each and every one of us to repeat after the Adhan, after the Mu'adhin. It's easy for us, and we should do our best. This is one of the paths to lead to Jannah. And also, we should take this hadith as an encouragement for both the brothers and the sisters, both the people in a group and individually, that whenever it is time to make salat, we should call the adhan and then the iqamah and then establish the salat. We should call the adhan and then the iqamah and then establish the salat. This is for each and every one of us, male or female, in a group or by himself. The adhan should be called 5 times a day. In our houses, at our places of work, and also at the masjid. This adhan isn't just for the muezzin in the masjid. It's for you, brother, when you by yourself. When you want to establish salat, you should stand up and call the adhan in a loud voice, as loud as you could, because you are forgiven. You are forgiven for as long as your voice reaches when you call the adhan. We should call the adhan in a loud voice, even if we're by ourselves. We don't know who might be listening. In America, unfortunately, until now, many of us, we wouldn't recognize our brother in Islam because he doesn't have a dress that would recognize his Islam, that would show us his Islam. So we might be at a place we don't see any Muslims. We should call the adhan loudly. We don't know who might come out of the woodwork to answer the call. Come to salah, come to success. This adhan is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guaranteed in this authentic hadith, the reward of Jannah, the reward of paradise. As for the sisters, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in an authentic hadith, al mar'atu awra, that the lady is a awra. And I don't know the translation of the word awra. Does anybody know the awra? The awra is that part of our body that it is compulsory for us to cover. We call it the awra in Arabic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the lady is a awra. That the lady is a awra. Showing the importance for the women to cover themselves properly and to stay in the background so as not to be an attraction for the men, to lead the men to do wrong. This is from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the women, they shouldn't raise their voices too loud. beautifying their voices for the men, attracting the men when they make the adhan. But if they're in the privacy of their home, they can make the adhan. Or if they're a company of women and there are men around, Muslim men, then the men should call the adhan and the women could repeat after them. But if the women are by themselves and there are no men around to call the adhan, then and only then the women should call the adhan by themselves. And it's perfectly permissible, rather it would be recommended for the women to call the adhan, as the adhan is a remembrance of Allah. As the adhan is a remembrance of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me and I'll remember you. Be thankful and don't be ungrateful. So it is encouraged for both the male and the female to recite the Quran. And the women in general should be conscious of their voices, and not to beautify their voices to the men so as to lead the men on, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised them in Surah Al-Ahzab. And subhanAllah, maybe you have to excuse me, I don't remember where the verse is right now. Anyway, this verse is in surah number 33. It's a short surah, it's only 70 verses, and whoever reads it, inshallah, they'll come across the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discouraging the women from allowing their voices to be beautified in the presence of the men. And I can't remember that where that verse is right offhand, but it's in that surah, and maybe inshallah ta'ala next week we will bring that verse and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit. But we just wanted to get back to the point that when we hear the muazzin call the adhan and we repeat after them, then it's a way to get to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us in this next hadith another way to get to Jannah. As he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna sidqa yahdi ila al-birri wa inna al-birra yahdi ila al-jannah وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَصْدِقُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ صِدِّيقًا وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَكْذِبَ حَتَّى يَكْتُبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, certainly truthfulness leads to righteousness. Certainly truthfulness leads to righteousness and or piety. And righteousness and piety leads to Jannah. Certainly truthfulness or sincerity, rather truthfulness, guides to piety or righteousness, and righteousness leads to Jannah. And a person will never cease being truthful until he is written down as a truthful one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lying leads to sinfulness. Lying leads to sinning, and sinning leads to the hellfire. Sinning or indecencies in general leads to the hellfire. And a person will never cease to lie until he is written down in the sight of Allah as a liar. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to Jannah. Just as lying leads to indecencies and sinning, and as decencies and sinning leads to the hellfire. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us another path that leads to Jannah, and that is the path of truthfulness. And whoever follows that path of truthfulness, it will lead him to the path of righteousness or piety. And whoever has that, that will lead him to Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask you to make us among the truthful. Oh Allah, we ask you to make us among those who have piety. Oh Allah, we ask you to enter us into Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask you not to make us among the liars. And oh Allah, we ask you not to make us among the sinners or the people who perform indecencies. And Allah, we ask you to save us from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his finest guidance, shows us another way to get to Jannah. And this seems to be an easy way, but at times it's difficult. As the Prophet, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, قال الرجل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دلني على عمل يدخلني الجنة. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب ولك الجنة. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Tabarani, and it's authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a man, show me a deed that I could do that would enter me into Jannah. Show me an action that I could do that would enter me into Jannah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't get mad and you'll have Jannah. Don't get mad and you'll have Jannah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us a seemingly easy way to get to Jannah, and that is not being mad. But we know how hard and how difficult it is at times not to get mad. And here we just want to make a point, as we're going to explain what is meant by not getting mad. At times, it's compulsory on us to get mad. And at times, we get mad, and this isn't the anger or the madness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. As we know, he has told us in authentic hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man, it just slipped my mind. Man, subhanAllah al-Azim, it just slipped my mind. Oh, yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ahabba lillah wa abghaba lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmal al-iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith that whoever loves for Allah's sake and hates or gets mad for Allah's sake, gives for Allah's sake and prevents or restrains for Allah's sake, then this person has perfected his faith. This person has perfected his faith. This type of anger, this type of getting mad for the sake of Allah, this isn't what is implied in this hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't get mad and you'll have Jannah, he's referring to getting mad for the sake of the individual himself. For the individual himself. Somebody talk bad about you. Akhi, you ugly. You get mad, you ain't talking about me, I look better than you. Getting mad for the person himself and not for the sake of Allah, this is the anger, this is the madness, that if we control it, if we hold it back, then we'll have Jannah. Not if you get mad for Allah's sake. Not if you get mad for Allah's sake. If someone is doing something, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to preserve our private parts. If a brother is just openly fornicating, going around with a sister, shacking up with a girl, walking down the street with a girl, that ain't his wife. May Allah save us from that. We should hate it and get mad. Akhi, what are you doing? Drag him away from the sister. Break him up. Get out of here, you fornicator. Brother, fear Allah. Come back to the deen. Leave off that indecency. This anger, this madness is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever does this, he's doing that which will perfect his faith. Loving for Allah's sake, hating for Allah's sake, giving for Allah's sake, and preventing for Allah's sake is to complete, to perfect your faith. Let's not confuse the two. Let's not confuse the two. One brother is backbiting. We come to a room, we're talking. One of the brothers begins to talk about another brother. You know that brother? Man, that brother don't know how to do such and such right. That brother this, that brother that, that brother this, that brother that. If we hear that, we shouldn't be sitting there saying, I ain't going to get mad. Because if I hold back my anger, the Prophet ﷺ said, I'll have Jannah. We should be angry, rather we should be furious to hear a brother or a sister talk back, talking about backbiting, slandering a brother or a sister in Islam. We should be furious. We shouldn't allow our ears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with to hear such vulgar indecency as slander and backbiting. This anger is for Allah's sake. This is the praiseworthy getting mad. That getting mad for yourself. That getting mad for yourself. Following your desires. That type of anger, if you don't get mad, if you don't get angry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Jannah. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, which is a part of the famous collection called 40 Hadith by Imam al-Nawawi, the book that we encourage everyone to purchase and to have as a part of their library and to read as often as they get a chance to, because it's an excellent book and it has 40 great hadith in it. And one of them is this one, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Awsini. قال لا تغضب فردد مرارا قال لا تغضب. The man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, advise me. He said, don't get mad, 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 don't get mad. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to advise him, don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this type of madness or anger is, that following our own desires, getting mad for something other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the anger that if we hold back, we'll get Jannah. This is the anger that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising us to stay away from, as he repeated, don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad. And we know from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that at a time, because of the importance of something, he would repeat it often, over and over and over, so many times that some of the companions would say, I wish he would just be quiet. I wish that the messenger of Allah would shut up. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not for hate of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the fact that we got the point. Don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad. Once, twice, three times, I got the picture. 17 times, 70 times, 100 times, you'd wish that a person stopped. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day was reclining, and he was advising them, and I think he stood up and he says, Allah wa qawla zuhur, Allah wa qawla zuhur, Allah wa qawla zuhur, and he kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. So the companions just said, I wish he stopped. And this qawla zuhur is usually translated as false, bearing false witness, whatever that means. I never knew what bearing false witness means. Maybe someone can explain to me what that means, but and then I'll translate what I know a qawla zuhur to mean. Okay, the brother said to say that you witnessed something and you didn't and you didn't witness it. This isn't what is meant by qawla zuhur. To say you saw something and you didn't see it, that's not called qawla zuhur.
Okay, to sign an agreement for an amount of money that it wasn't.
The other meaning, to sign, you know, if someone signed an agreement, you're bearing witness to the fact of a certain agreement and it's not intact or something. But that, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to explain that this qawla zuhur, this shahadatu zuhur, this false witness, is participating in the holidays of the mushrikeen. Participating, being present on the scene, being affiliated with the disbelievers on their holidays. 4th of July is around the corner. Going to the 4th of July picnic. Going to the 4th of July parade. Going to the fireworks display. On and on and on. This witnessing the holidays or participating in the holidays of the mushrikeen, this is the qawla zuhur that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about, and this is the qawla zuhur or the shahadatu zuhur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Furqan chapter number 25 verse number 72. The Prophet Allah Ta'ala in this verse in the Quran, where he's describing the good characters of the believers of Ar-Rahman, he said one of their characteristics is that they don't yashhaduna zur, they don't do this bearing false witness, and that is meant that they don't participate in the holidays of the disbelieving people. So this is, alhamdulillah, that this has come up, and that we want to remind ourselves and the believers that on the 4th of July, don't have anything to do with this picnicking, this parading, this foolish deviance that the disbelieving people have invented, because this is a serious thing. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that day he was just chilling out, reclining, advising the believers. But when he got to this point, he stood up and he said it so many times, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, till they just did. And they probably were saying it in the narration afterwards, we wish he shut up. We wish that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be quiet. And if it wasn't for the lack of time, and it wasn't for the fact that I think that everyone understands the point, I would say for the next 20 minutes, don't participate in the 4th of July parade. Don't go to the picnic on the 4th of July. Don't witness those fireworks on the 4th of July. Don't be involved in celebrating the 4th of July. Don't be involved in celebrating the 4th of July. But inshallah ta'ala, we get the point across. And we know that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he wanted to emphasize something, he would just say it and say it and say it and say it and say it. Hopefully that the people will get the point. And this is a part of advising or a part of Islam that we shouldn't run away from. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind them, because a reminder benefits the believer. You can't advise the Muslims too much. You can't tell a brother to do good too much. You can't advise a brother to stay away from wrong too much. Oh, that brother's always telling me to stay away from that. Oh, that brother's always encouraging me to come to the masjid. That brother's always telling me leave that sister alone. The brother cannot say it enough. The sister can't tell you stop backbiting enough. Sister, stop backbiting. Don't backbite. Don't backbite. Don't backbite. They can't say it enough. And the more we say it, the better. As this is guidance from the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, there's another authentic hadith on the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I don't remember the exact wording, but inshallah ta'ala, this is the meaning of it. That the strong person or the tough person isn't the person that when he has the ability to get mad to a person, he gets angry with them, but it's the person who holds it back when he has the ability to do so. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advising, you know, if you weigh 215 pounds and you hitting hard, and somebody come up to you, he's 120 pounds, he gets you mad. He be like, "Akhi, I don't know what you acting like that with me." You know? And you take your anger out on that person because you can express it. He 120 pounds. I'm 220 hitting hard. You ain't strong and you ain't tough when you get mad in the situation where you can, when you're in control, so to speak. The situation where you got the upper hand. But the strong person, the tough person, is the person that holds back his anger when he has more right to be angry. Somebody come up to you, they look worse than you look, and they say ugly, they call you ugly. And you be like, "You got the nerve to talk, call me ugly. Look at you," as if you never looked in the mirror. The person that takes that statement, when someone does them wrong or is unjust to them, and they have more right to be angry and to take it back on the person, when they hold it back, that's the tough person, that's the strong person. This holding back our anger, not getting mad, leaving off arguing, this is from the good character of the believers. This is from the good character of the believers. This is what leads to Jannah. We advise ourselves and we advise the believers, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us, don't get mad. Among the other things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us, that which would get us to Jannah, is visiting the sick. Visiting the sick. And we'll quote a few hadith, inshallah ta'ala, about visiting the sick and the importance of visiting the sick. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in authentic hadith, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ سِتُّونَ, that the right of a Muslim over another Muslim is six. He mentioned إِذَا مَرِضَ عَادَهُ, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he gets sick he visits him. That's the right that every Muslim has over another Muslim. If any one of us gets sick, or someone we don't know from among the Muslims gets sick, it's a right that we visit that person. Each and every one of us has a right over the other person, that when we get sick, that person has to come visit us. This is the right that we have over our brother and sister Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من عاد مريضا لم يزل في خرفة الجنة حتى يرجع. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, says that the person who visits a sick person never ceases being among the people who will be in Jannah until he leaves from visiting that person. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. I fear that maybe I'm not doing justice to this translation. I'm doing my best and Allah knows best. But inshallah ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to tell us that the person who visits the sick is among the people who will be in Jannah, rather is in Jannah until he stops visiting that person, until he comes back from that visit. The Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some of these things, in some of the hadith, he says that whoever does this is in Jannah. Whoever does that will enter Jannah as if we'll enter it right now. Inshallah ta'ala, what is missed is that on the day of resurrection, when the people will be divided, some are going to Jannah and some are going to the hellfire, then is the time when the person will enter Jannah. And not that it's like right now. Or that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, like he's saying in this hadith, that the person who visits the sick is in Jannah until he stops visiting them. But that this is an encouragement to visit the sick and to show that the reward for visiting the sick is to enter Jannah. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another hadith, this hadith is on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من مسلم يعود مسلما مريضا غدوة إلا صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يمسي وإن عاده عشية صلى عليه 70,000 ملك حتى يصبح وكان له خريف في الجنة. The Messenger of Allah says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, as Ali ibn Abi Talib says, when he says, I heard the Messenger of Allah, may the peace and mercy be upon him, say, there is not a Muslim who visits a sick Muslim. There is not a Muslim who visits a sick Muslim in the morning time except that 70,000 angels pray for that person, the visiting person, until the evening comes. Except that 70,000 angels pray for the visiting person until the evening comes. And there is no Muslim who visits a sick Muslim in the evening time except that the 70,000 angels pray for that visiting person until the morning time comes. And that visiting person will have the fruits of Jannah. And that visiting person will have the fruits of Jannah. Here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that visiting the sick is one of the paths to Jannah. And that visiting the sick is a right of a Muslim over a Muslim. And that the reward, as if the reward of Jannah isn't enough, but to have 70,000 angels praying for us, for visiting that person from the morning to the evening, or from the evening to the morning. What more encouragement do we need to visit the sick? And it has come to my attention that one of the sisters of Plainfield named Basima Mateen is sick, And we encourage all of the believers to visit her, because she is sick, and every Muslim has a right over another Muslim that we visit the sister Basima, and she will be. The brother said that inshallah ta'ala she'll be home tonight. And if anyone has her address, then they should inform the Muslims so that we can go visit the sister. And maybe if it isn't too late, inshallah ta'ala, that we don't want to be among the people who give lip service, but that inshallah ta'ala after this lesson, if we can encourage the brother who's going to ride us home to go by this sister's house and to visit her, because she has a right over us, that we visit her and that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure her from her sickness. Amen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next hadith, من عاد مريضا أو زار أخا له في الله ناداه مناد أن طبط وطاب ممشاك وتبوأت من الجنة منزلا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next hadith encouraging us to visit the sick. Whoever visits a sick or visits any Muslim in general, only for the sake of Allah, then the angels will make the call, that is a good person, and that person's abode would be in Jannah. That visiting person is a good person, and that visiting person's abode will be Jannah. So here in this authentic hadith collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to visit the sick, and that the reward for visiting the sick is Jannah. We just want to mention, inshallah ta'ala, one more path to Jannah, and there are many ways to enter Jannah before the Adhan. I have in front of me a book called Mujibat al-Jannah, written by Abdullah ibn Ali al-Ju'ayshin, and in this book he has 64 different ways that we can get to Jannah as from the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have wanted to choose a particular one here, but just offhand, I'm not seeing it. So, here we go. Alhamdulillah, we found it. Inshallah ta'ala, because of the lack of shortness of the time before the Adhan, we won't read the Arabic, it's quite long, but we'll just narrate the story, the translation in English. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The companion Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he's narrating this hadith as he says, we were sitting around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, there'll be a man coming up now who will be from the men of Jannah, There's a man that will enter upon us that will be from the men of Jannah, from the people of Jannah. So a man came in from the Ansar. From the Ansar is the tribe that was in Medina, the people who helped the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Medina, when he made hijrah to Medina. His beard was dripping with water from making a wudu. His beard was dripping with water from just making a wudu, and he had his shoes dangling in his left hand. The next day, they were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said the same thing. A man will enter upon us from the people of Jannah. The same man that came in the first time came in again. The next day or the third day, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting with his companion, said, a man from the people of Jannah will come into us, will enter upon us, and the exact same man came in. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on this third time, after he said that, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As got up to follow that man. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he's one of the younger companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both him, Abdullah, and his father, Amr ibn al-As, both accepted Islam. But here the son accepted Islam before his father. And this is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, one of the young companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a young man. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, a man will enter upon us from the people of Jannah. Three times he saw the same man. This was the eagerness of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do good deeds, to be following the path that leads to Jannah. They weren't giving lip service to this deen during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the good companions, but that they were trying to follow this deen sincerely and truthfully. Here's a young man, he heard the Prophet say, that man is in Jannah, that man is in Jannah, that man is in Jannah. The third time he got up to follow him to find out what is he doing so he can follow the same path to get to Jannah. As he said, I went to that man and I said, the man of the Prophet said will enter Jannah, and I told him that I have swore that I won't enter my father's house for 3 days and three nights. So can I spend the night with you? The man said, yes, you can spend the night with me. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he spent three nights with that man. He said that that man didn't stand up and make night salah, except that at night, if he rolled over, he would remember Allah and say Allahu Akbar. And that's from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he teaches us, if any one of us happens to get up at night or roll over and we have any consciousness that we're rolling over, we should remember Allah. We should remember Allah. Anyway, the man didn't get up and make any night salat until the time of Fajr came. He would make his wudu and make salat. Abdullah said, another thing is that when I was with him, I never heard him speak anything but good. Anyway, he was just about to say, I don't know how in the world the Prophet ﷺ could say that man is in Jannah, he ain't standing up for salah at night, he ain't doing nothing extra that I can't do, here I am a young man, I'm doing that. Just when he was about to say that man ain't doing nothing, he said, let me ask him. He said, look, I wasn't mad at my father, and that wasn't why I said I wouldn't stay with him at three nights. But I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that a man will enter upon us from the people of Jannah, you walked in the door. He said it again, you walked in the door. He said it again, you walked in the door. I want to know what you doing to get to Jannah so I can do what you doing. Here we see one of the companions trying to get to Jannah. Today we've heard some of the things from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we can do to get to Jannah. We need to be the first people going down that path. Because here was one of the companions that didn't even know. And he was trying to break his neck to find out. Today we have just found out. Let us not be among the people who hear and tread another path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to tread that path that we heard today, those paths that lead to Jannah. Ameen. Anyway, the story goes on, and he says, and we'll, inshallah, end it right now in this minute, that the man said, what you see is what you get. I don't have any more good deeds on my side except what you saw from me the 3 days that you spent with me. So the man walked away. Then he said, wait a minute. Except that I don't hate any Muslims. I don't hate any Muslim, and I'm not envious of anything that Allah has given to one person that he hasn't given to me. Abdullah ibn Amr said, that's it. That's the thing that you're doing that will get you to Jannah, and that's the thing that we can't do. And that's the thing that we can't do. So whoever can hold his heart free from hating or disliking any of the Muslims, he can keep his heart free from envy of the Muslims. Allah has blessed that brother with a beautiful house and a beautiful car. He thinks he's something. If you can stay away from envying that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed some of his creation over others, and don't hold any hatred or dislike in your heart for the Muslims, this is what will get you Jannah. But this is a difficult thing to do. وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ